Grace, mercy, and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in that Easter season. We're celebrating our Lord's resurrection. We're singing these happy Easter hymns with all those alleluias. And we remember what Easter means for us and in our life and in our faith. Today we're going to talk about these appearances of our Lord to his disciples over a two-week period, if you will, once without Thomas, once with Thomas. But the disciples are locked up in a room for fear of the Jews. So our topic today is no room for fear. I guess they had something to think about and be afraid about. They thought they did anyway. You know, if Jesus was crucified, if the authorities were willing to take him and put him on a cross, maybe his followers would be easy pickings as well. And so they were afraid, and so they were locked up, and so they did go into a room and close the doors. You ever done that? You ever gone into your room and close the door and hope the world will just leave you alone? Just go away? Just give you some peace and quiet? I used to send my kids to their room to get some peace and quiet. You know, go in there and lock the doors. And be afraid, because I'm coming in sometime too. Can you imagine those disciples? I want to tell you the sermon I'm not going to preach today. I'm not going to preach about, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. I'm not going to emphasize that one in my message today, but Jesus said those words, didn't he? And we talk about our mission, and we talk about God's sending, and we like to come in here to this church, but we don't lock ourselves in here, right? We go out again. After church, we go out into the world knowing that we're sent by God. I'm not going to emphasize that too much. Not going to emphasize the sending of God's Holy Spirit where Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. We're going to talk about that in a big way on Pentecost coming up. And people say this is kind of John's Pentecost where Jesus gives his Holy Spirit. But that's not the focus of our message today either. Not even going to only emphasize Thomas and what a bum he is, doubting Thomas. You know, man, oh man, what a reputation to live down. All the disciples doubted. There was nobody at the tomb Sunday morning just saying, I can't wait to see Jesus again. They all doubted. They were all afraid. They were all closed up. What I do want to talk to you today about is fear. And what takes away our fear, this word of peace that Jesus brings. This word of peace that's the big word in all three of our lessons today. This word of peace that comes up three times in our gospel lesson today. It's almost like a liturgy, repetitious. You know, I always say in our liturgy, how many times do I say it? The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. You ever get tired of hearing that? I don't get tired of saying that. Because, man, if that is one message I can give you that will calm your fears, the Lord is with you. That's what it is. And Jesus today, with his disciples, comes and brings peace to them in the midst of their fears. What are you afraid about? The internet says, here's what most people are afraid about. Bugs, bats, snakes, mice. A lot of people are afraid of heights. A lot of people are afraid of flying. A lot of people are afraid of water. Ought to move to California, I guess. A lot of people are afraid of public transportation, storms, closed up spaces, bridges, crowds. A lot of people are afraid of public speaking. Don't you wish I was and it'd just be quiet once in a while? But not see. Man, what are you afraid of? We've probably all got fears that kind of bind us and scare us. Maybe for those of us in our later years, maybe our fears kind of changed. Maybe now we're more afraid of death. Maybe now we're more afraid of an unknown future. How long am I going to live? Is my money going to hold out? Is my body going to hold out? Am I going to be all alone someday? We all have our fears. Well, some people say, well, no problem. Just try to avoid your fears. Afraid to fly? Just don't fly. Afraid of heights? Just don't go up in the Empire State Building. Afraid of death? Just don't die. Well, how do you do that? Afraid of getting sick? Just don't get sick. Who wants to get sick? But a lot of us do. So what do we do with our fears? I read a joke about a guy who went to his psychiatrist and said he's afraid all the time. And the psychiatrist told him, if you want peace in your life, just finish what you start. That's the key. Just finish what you start. He said, that's right. I went home and I had 2 bags of chips and 1 gallon of ice cream. I feel better already. That psychiatrist knows what he's talking about. No, that's not the answer to your fears. The answer to your fears is the word of Jesus. And I want to talk to you about this word of peace. I got 4 points to talk to you about today. The promise of peace, the prince of peace, the price of peace, and the prayer of peace. I'd like to talk to you about those 4 things today. First, the promise of peace. You know, Jesus tried to prepare his disciples for his going away. He knew what was happening. He was in complete control. So on that night before his death, he spent a lot of time with his disciples trying to comfort them. Here's one of the most beautiful promises of that night, I think. Peace I leave with you. You say that when you're leaving, right? You say that at the end of something. So this is one of the last words Jesus gives to his disciples. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. See, that's one of those last words that Jesus spoke. Man, things are going to happen tonight. I ain't got to go away tonight, but I wish you my peace. I give you my peace. I promise you my peace, he said. But boy, it didn't sink in too well. They were very unpeaceful that night. They were very unpeaceful for a couple of days. And so 3 days later, that first Easter morning, we get our gospel lesson for today. And that's where Jesus comes to them. And again, notice the first word Jesus says to those disciples, peace be with you. I might have said, you losers, you ran away, you abandoned me. And Peter, James, and John, you big shots, I asked you to pray and you fell asleep. What's wrong with you guys? I'm going to trust my whole mission to you? He could have said things like that, but no. Jesus comes with the word of comfort. Jesus comes with the word of promise. And he says, peace be with you. I did it. I'm alive, just as I said. Everything happened just the way it was supposed to. Give you my spirit, and I'm going to give you my mission, and you're going to be my disciples, and you're going to spread the gospel all over the world. So peace be with you. Do you hear that word of peace? If Jesus were to appear to you today, do you think he'd have a good word or a bad word? I think he'd have a kind word for you. My son, my daughter, I love you. I know you're worried. I know you're scared about certain things, but I can care for you. You can trust me. I can hold your life in my hands, and you don't have to be afraid. Peace be with you. That's the word God's been speaking all down through the ages. We read those words of the famous Aaronic benediction where God told Aaron, the priest, how to bless his people. And we use these words often in church, don't we? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Do you hear that word of peace each Sunday as we exit the church and go out into the world on our mission? The Lord gives peace. He wants to turn his face upon you, kind of a strange word. He doesn't want to turn his back on you. Although you might say, my backside is better than my front side. No, God wants to turn his face to you. He wants to look upon you with love, kindness, and mercy, and give you peace. That's the promise of peace. Think about promises. You've got to ask, who's making the promise? Is that person trustworthy? Is that person reliable? Or who's making this promise of peace? None other than the Prince of Peace. Remember these great Christmas verses? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So of course he has peace to give. Of course he has peace to promise. He's the Prince of Peace. And that verse goes on, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. You don't got to go in your room and lock the door. You don't got to go in your room and hide. You don't got to go in your room and be afraid. because the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. A life of peace with God, sins forgiven. A life of peace with God, future taken care of. A life of peace with God, knowing that his plans for us are good and gracious. Boy, I love this beautiful verse from 2 Thessalonians 3. Not a very well-known one, but boy, a powerful one. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace when, at all times, how, in every way, the Lord be with all of you. Isn't that a good one? First of all, again, notice Jesus, sometimes called the Prince of Peace. Here he's called the Lord of Peace. So if he's the Lord of Peace, he can give you peace all the time, in every way. And he can give you peace because he's with you always. Again, it was his presence into that closed up room that took the fear away. It was his presence, his revelation, his life, his victory that helped those disciples' fears to be overcome. And let's face it, we live in a pretty unpeaceful world, don't we? My lovely wife's in church today. Haven't seen you a while in here, honey. This is one of Joyce's favorite verses, John 16:33. Jesus said, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That promise kept Joyce strong in Boston when she was going through her crazy radiation that almost like it never happened, you know. That promise, in Jesus, we have peace. Sure, we're going to face troubles. Sure, we're going to face trials and struggles and hard times. Christians aren't immune to that. And the preachers who say that we are false preachers. We're going to have struggles. But Jesus says we also have peace. And it's a peace that's in him, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the Giver of Peace. Well, what about the price of peace? Kind of a gruesome picture we've got for our PowerPoints these days, right? But isn't that what the story says? I got to see his hands. And really, more than just see him, I got to touch his hands. Seeing is not enough for Thomas either. I got to put my finger there. I got to put my hand in there. Anybody can see things, you know. Wow. The price of peace. So when Jesus comes and bids peace to his disciples, he says, look at my hands, guys. Look what it cost. Look what I did. Look at God's plan. Is there any doubt in your mind now that your sins are forgiven? Is there any doubt in your mind now how much God loves you? If he sent me down from heaven to die for you, to go through this suffering for you. So we're told in Luke's gospel, why? Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. The crucified King, the risen Savior, look at me and believe and be at peace and be empowered with the Spirit for your mission and get out of this room and share the gospel with those around you. The price of peace has been paid. So Luther says, man, we should live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose today, and is coming back tomorrow. We should live. There's no fear there. There's just joy there. There's just victory there. There's just faith there. Because it puts God on his rightful spot, ruling in heaven, aware of every little detail in your life, knows what you're afraid of, knows what you're struggling with, knows what keeps you awake at night. And Jesus says, peace be with you too. The promise of peace, the Prince of Peace. The price of peace has been paid, and now this prayer for peace. Remember this beautiful verse in Philippians? We do talk about it often, but boy, talking about it and putting it into practice are not the same thing, right? Put this verse into practice, dear brothers and sisters. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, peace and prayer go together. Because we do struggle, because we are afraid, because things happen that we don't like, and so we go to God, and we talk about it with him, and we put it into God's hands, and then God says, now my peace is going to guard you, going to guard the way you think, and it's a peace that's beyond your understanding. You can't figure it out. You can't always explain it. Would you help me with this famous hymn? Will you help me finish the lines? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Yeah. You don't go to God in prayer, you forfeit peace. You don't go to God in prayer, you've got needless pain. Do you like pain? I don't. You don't go to God in prayer, life is very, very different. But as we go to him and as we lay our needs down before his throne, as we ask him for his help and his comfort and his guidance and yes, for his peace, he gives it to us. Just like he gave it to Thomas. And remember Thomas's simple prayer? My Lord. That's a confession of faith. It's a prayer of faith. It's an entrusting your life into God. My Lord and my God. What a joy that is. There's no room for fear. There's no time for fear either. You know, the disciples wasted a day. That first Easter Sunday, we're pretty happy here at Mount Olive. They were sad all day long until nighttime. And then Thomas wasn't there. He didn't just waste a day. He wasted a week of his life being afraid and sad and doubtful. There's no time for fear. There's no time for doubt because God comes and he picks us up. And he's got a kind and forgiving word for us. And he says, go and share my gospel. And as you do, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.